From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Hitta Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Did you know that your detectors need to be replaced every 5 to 10 years? Hitta detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of Hitta safety products.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as a meal at a Houston restaurant you may want to know more about. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She is an expert on food, wine, and good times. Felice Sloan, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey. I am happy to be here, Eric. Thank you for having me.
I'm delighted you're here. Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, Genesis Steakhouse, the kosher restaurant that lost its kosher certification a couple of months ago, has closed. It closed at the very end of April, but the space will not stay empty for long. Owner Jason Goldstein has announced that he is opening a new restaurant called Exodus in the former Genesis space. The critical difference is Exodus will not be kosher, unlike Genesis, which was kosher, although it'll keep a kosher steak and a kosher chicken around for people in the neighborhood who really want a kosher meal in a not kosher restaurant. That is too advanced. There are certain practices in Judaism where it's kind of up to the individual person to decide how observant they want to be. And that is one of those things that like will fly for some people and not fly for others. And that's about all I want to say about Jewish practice as it regards to keeping kosher. But anyway, Felice, let me throw this to you. I mean, Jason has sort of studied the market and he kind of notes that there aren't a lot of, you know, family friendly, neighborhoody, you know, Houston style restaurants in that Bel Air, Meyerland, Westbury area. And so he thinks he has an opportunity here with Exodus to lure those kind of people who are looking for that kind of experience and maybe don't want to drive to the Galleria or Upper Kirby or Montrose or whatever.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to, you didn't want to go there, but I'm going to go there just a little bit. You know, Genesis had its thing, right? Like, it worked in the neighborhood. It worked. People would drive there. I went a couple of times. I went once with you a long time ago, and another time I met someone, and it just works for what it is, what it was. Now, the new concept, I'm just concerned. I'm with you. I'm like, it's going to have to change completely. Like, new audience, different vibe, and then I can see it being successful. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of yada yada the Judaism of it all. But we should say, you know, keeping kosher, right? Keeping kosher enough to be a customer of a specifically kosher restaurant that is under the supervision of the Houston Kashruth Association, which is managed by a group of rabbis. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are that religious, then you will not eat at a restaurant that is not certified or under the supervision of the FDA, right? So Genesis's old customers, some percentage of Genesis's old customers are not going to make this transition to Exodus. But there are certainly Jewish people living in Meyerland and Bel Air and whatnot.
Right. They will
want to support a Jewish-owned restaurant and will like the idea that they can get, you know, the kosher food will be cooked in its own pans and served on its own plates with its own silverware. So there's not going to be, you know, there's not going to be that like mixing of kosher and non-kosher.
Perfect. Okay.
But it won't be a strictly kosher.
So thank you for that. That's why I needed to, because there'll be people thinking like, well, how does it work? So Sorry, I had made you go there a little bit. So with that mix, and also, again, bringing, because I didn't get family. Like, I didn't get big family-friendly, even though I know it was family-friendly. So I just see some new tweaks. I would love to check it out once it opens. So, yeah, I think it could work.
Yeah, I'm obviously very curious to try this. Jason is having some fun. He's serving things that he could not have served when he was a kosher restaurant, you know, like shellfish. So you can get shrimp at Exodus. And one of the rules of kosher is you can't mix meat and dairy. So he's serving a cheeseburger or like a creamy chicken Alfredo pasta, you know, butter in his mashed potatoes. Like, all of these things are out in a kosher restaurant. And all of them are things you can do at a kosher, at a not kosher restaurant. And the other thing is, kosher meat is expensive.
Yeah.
So the price point for Exodus will be a little lower. And, you know, obviously he's having a little bit of fun with the name. You know, the first book.
The first book
of the Bible is Genesis. That's the name of the old restaurant.
Right.
The second book of the Bible is Exodus. That's this, right. You know. And it also, of course, means leaving. So he's leaving behind Genesis, the kosher restaurant, and he's doing a not kosher restaurant called Exodus. It's a little cheeky.
I love the cheekiness. I immediately got it when I saw the name. I'm like, love that. I see what you did there, Jason.
Yeah, I feel like it's obvious, but I also don't. I'm not really fluent in other people's biblical literacy. Most people know Exodus is the second book of the Old Testament, right?
Here's the thing, where if they don't know about Genesis, then it'll just be like, oh, Exodus, right? So it won't, it's like seeing a movie. There was a movie before it, and then you see the second one, it can stand alone. But if you saw the first one, you totally get it. That's it. That's what it is. So absolutely. Folks that get it.
All right, let's move on to topic number two. Cactus Club Cafe, a restaurant from Canada, is opening its third U.S. location at Boulevard Place. They have claimed that kind of corner right next to North Italia, right next to Whole Foods Market, that used to be a Verizon store. It was not well utilized as a Verizon store, because somehow they've created like a 12,000 square foot two-story restaurant in what had been a Verizon store, which is crazy to me. And if you kind of look at the menu for Cactus Club Cafe, I mean, you see they have everything. They have sushi, they have chicken wings, they have lettuce wraps, they have salads, they have sandwiches, they have burgers, pasta, steak, seafood. You know, they describe it as kind of chef-driven. I'm always a little bit skeptical of chain restaurants that tout their chef-driven credibility, but it is part of the same Canada-based restaurant group that owns Joey Uptown, which has done pretty well in the Galleria. So, and I spoke to the real estate executive, the Houston-based real estate executive, who was responsible for leasing this space to Cactus Club Cafe. She went to Toronto. You know, she tried a couple of their locations, some announced, some unannounced, and she left very impressed. She thinks it's going to do great here. And I think, Felice, it's an interesting fit because, you know, when I think about Post Oak, it's usually pretty luxurious. You got Caracol, you got Uchiko, you got Balboa Seafood, you know, on and on. But at Boulevard Place, it's Ninfa's Uptown, it's True Food Kitchen, it's North Italia, relatively more casual restaurants. And so right. I think Cactus Club Cafe is an interesting fit for that mix.
Yeah, when I was looking at, I thought about the same thing. I'm like, what over there, how does that fit into that air, right? With the couple of blocks, because within that three block radius, it's a lot of stuff, right? So I placed it. It's very approachable. I even looked at some of the Canada restaurants, price point good. People like approachable food, and that price point fits where a lot of people like to stay, where they have variety. I can hang out with my friends. All of us have different things that we like. And we can get drinks. I looked at the cocktail. So I think, to your point, it or the person that placed them there, the real estate person, it can do well because there's nothing else on that side of their strip center You know, True Foods may would be something, but that's on the healthier side. People want, if I want to eat what I want to eat, give me the calories, give me the drinks, I would go there. So yeah, I think I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I sort of tagged it comfort food, which isn't really, it's not really fair. Because it's not like they're doing like meatloaf and fried chicken and stuff like that. You know, they're doing kind of global, like popular dishes that have been sort of adopted from around the world and will please a crowd, right? There's essentially no type of diner who won't find something to like at Cactus Club Cafe.
Right.
And it's sort of pitched to be, you know, you can go for lunch, you can go for dinner, you can go for brunch on the weekends, you can go for happy hour, you can go with friends, you can go with a date, you can take your family. And at 12,000 square feet, like it'll be big enough where, you know, the families with kids probably won't be sitting next to the people on date night.
Right.
You know, it'll have different, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen any renderings. I don't know how they're going to divide that space up.
Right.
But they have experience operating two-story spaces. That's one of the things I was told. And so, you know, they'll allocate this space in a way that kind of makes sense for everybody.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, I think this is going to be like, you know, I don't know that this is going to be like anybody's favorite restaurant, but especially if you work in that Galleria area, like I could see this becoming like a pretty popular option because it will serve so many occasions well, I think.
And I love what they've done in the last couple of years. We've dined over there a lot. You think about a few years ago, you're kind of limited to options, right? Now that it's a destination, there's so many great restaurants. I know you have friends that live over there that are, every time they open a new one, they're so excited because they have places to go. So now this has just added yet another thing. Even though people are like, how can you not have a lot of, it's used to, we have a lot of restaurants, but that little strip, you know, from Westheimer going all the way down to kind of like San Felipe, it's popping, right? Like it's, you can just take your pick and it's great choices. So I think I'm excited for them.
Absolutely. All right. And then we should talk about your old friend, Greg Gatlin.
And Jason.
Yes. Well,
I love both of them. So now I'm torn. Throw it out there. I'm torn. I was so upset when I saw this. I'm like, what?
Right. So Greg Gatlin of Gatlin's Barbecue is one of the contestants on the new season of Barbecue Brawl, a Food Network barbecue competition show. Actually, if you're a fan of both Houston barbecue and reality cooking competitions, you know this show. Because there have been a series of Houstonians that have competed on this over the years, including Ara Malekian from Harlem Road Texas Barbecue, Michelle Wallace, who worked with Greg at Gatlin's Barbecue, competed on this. Don Wynn from Barbecue competed on this. So, you know, there's a lot of weird Houston ties to this show. But certainly, certainly Greg is like the most prominent person from Houston ever to do this. And I say that because he's had, you know, he was a judge on Top Chef when they filmed here in Houston. He was prominently featured on High on the Hog, the Netflix documentary series. You know, Greg is good on TV. I mean, you know, he's a Rice grad. He's a smart guy. He's a good looking dude. And he just presents very well on TV.
Yeah. And he can throw down on the pit. Let's throw that.
Yeah, no, he can really cook. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He can really cook. And speaking of the cooking part and the, you know, of course, barbecue part, I think one of the things, because I went back and looked, because I'm a fan of the show, I think Greg is such an advantage because he can do both. Now, if you've ever gone to Gatlin's and you don't try like some of his specials, you should try them because they're, you know, they may do them with smoke, without, but they're very good. So this is a talent that you need on the show, right? Because they're going to throw things at you and you're doing them on the grill, on the pit. And I think Greg has done an excellent job over the years, kind of developing and honing in on those additional skills. So I'm excited to see him on there. Now, I mentioned that he's on there with Jason.
Yeah, we should say Jason Dady, the chef from San Antonio.
From San Antonio. I think he's going to be great competition because Jason does all those things well, too. I mean, he has restaurants. I don't think he has a barbecue restaurant.
Well, he has Two Bros Barbecue Market.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right.
I don't think of him as a barbecue guy. I think of him as like a European, more, you know, French Italian kind of guy.
Right. So I just think this season is going to be very interesting. I'm super excited about this season because I know two folks on there. Of course, Greg, we're going for the hometown favorite.
Yeah, you know, I sent Greg's publicist an email and I said, tell me, you know, please ask Greg, why did you want to participate in the show? And so I got Greg's response back. I'll share this with you. I chose to participate in Barbecue Brawl as a personal challenge and a way to continue growing the Gatlin family brand. I actually turned down the opportunity the first time it came around, but I always told myself that if it came back again, I wouldn't let it pass me by. This time I seized the moment. So
I see that.
You know what that sounds like to me?
You know what? It sounds like he kicked ass.
It sounds like he's in it to win it.
He kicked ass and took names. I'm ready. Y'all better go tune in and check out our hometown boy. I think he showed up and showed out.
And I should say this premieres in a couple of weeks, Sunday, June 1st on the Food Network. And then you can stream it the next day on Max. So if you have Max, if you don't have the Food Network, you can stream it on Max and you can keep track of what Craig's up to.
Very good.
All right. Felice, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Felice, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Tavola. This is the Italian restaurant on Post Oak, speaking of more fine dining type restaurants on Post Oak. When Tavola first opened, it was a joint venture between Berg Hospitality, which has the Annie Cafe right next door, and B&B Butchers, and Prime 131, and Turner's, and all that stuff. And the Bastion Collection, which is the restaurant group behind both Le Jardinet and Cafe Leonelli at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston. Subsequently, they parted ways, and now it is only part of the Bastion Collection. And if you remember, this is the downstairs part of what had been Le Tab, which has always been part of the Bastion Collection. So a little bit of like corporate politics, shifting ownership. For our purposes, the most notable thing is that there's a new general manager. Valerio Lombardozzi had been there for many years. He has left. A new GM named Filippo Cipolletti is now running Tavola. Felice, let me just throw it to you. I mean, what did you think about our meal at Tavola?
So I was trying not to compare it when the first time we went to this time, but I did. So the first time we went, I mean, I thought it was great. This time, I would have to say much smaller menu, but everything was better executed. Everything was excellent, like, except for, you know, maybe something I didn't like or thought could have done better. But we were singing their praises. Loved even the salad, like, love. We had a crab, avocado and cucumber salad. We added crab and just the execution. I'm like, it's just a crab and avocado salad, but it was divine. I love that.
Yeah, and it's not really Italian, right? Like that.
It's not
that,
right. It's not
that crab and avocado salad has been on the menu since Le Tab days. It's the
correct.
It's the one holdover.
It's a carryover, but it's still. It's so funny because I used to get that, but everyone has their kind of spin on it. It's supposed to taste the same, but everybody has their spin on it. It's still just as good, right? Loved the love the bolognese. We were singing its praise. It just, and every, you know, we both love bolognese. If you love bolognese, I would go there for that because it just has its own little spin. It just has a little extra spiciness. I just enjoy it. I thought it was a great meal. I thought it was a great meal.
No, I'm with you. And I think the things that kind of stand out for me, you know, certainly the pastas, right? We had, as you mentioned, we had the tagliatelle bolognese. And then the other thing is we had the tortellini with ricotta and spinach in the brown butter and sage sauce, which is just like a total home run, a total classic.
Yeah.
With that like kind of cheese crisps to add a little texture, a little flavor. The other thing is we had a really beautiful piece of fish.
The bronzino.
Yeah, the bronzino was really nice. So, you know, I think there's a lot to like about this. You know, there's so many Italian restaurants. And, you know, if you want like more of that, even in the neighborhood, right? If you want more of that Italian-American vibe, you're probably going to El Braco. If you want a little of that CNB seam tip, you're probably going to Lombardi. But I like Tavola. I like how intimate it is. I like that it's like very sort of classically Italian. And so I think it's not really a surprise that the one dish we didn't like is the chicken parm, because this is not really a restaurant that should be doing Italian American. Like this, like leave that to others, right? If I want chicken parm, I'm going to Milton's maybe, or I think El Braco just rolled it out, but like, you know, I have places for that.
100%. They could take it off the menu, right?
Yeah, like they probably should, because it was mushy, you know? And like, I just, you know, it's hard to keep it crispy when you layer a whole bunch of tomato sauce and cheese on it. But that is the challenge. And when it's all one texture, it just doesn't work.
Right. And it is, as you say, it's a great, where like you list at the other ones, it's very intimate. I would call it I put it on my honeycomb hideout list. So if you want to be, you know, live your life, but it's definitely, you know, don't want people all in your business, like date night, that's where you want to go.
Yeah. And I don't want to give short shrift to the dishes that we did like, right? Like the house-made focaccia, really, really enjoyed, you know, that Frito Misto with the calamari and shrimp was crispy, was all good things.
Right.
You mentioned the avocado salad, but don't overlook that Caesar salad, again, with like the crispy to kind of go along. Actual anchovies, right? I always want that punch of anchovy in my Caesar. Just a very delicious, and the pastas were really first rate. So all of those things would be worth going back for. And then the tiramisu, you know, I can't.
Right. I think everything there was one, like I said, the one miss was something we're like, okay, that's not really what y'all do anyway. Like y'all do traditional Italian. So give me that all day. And all those were home runs.
Absolutely. And then, you know, I don't think they've really changed the dining room. It's still this kind of dimly lit, you know, light color. It's kind of a, you know, a pinkish almost interior.
Right.
Got that nice covered patio outside. They've got, you know, that big long bar. You know, it benefits from all those Ben Berg touches.
Right.
To the interior renovation.
Yeah. And the patio. I love the patio. The patio is something special.
All right. So just one more time. Tavola original or Tavola 2.0 for you?
2.0 all day, every day.
Yeah. And I think that's right. And I think that there's, you know, I just think that there's a place, like we love Italian food in this town. And I do think there is a place, especially in that kind of Galleria area, for a little more upscale, a little more intimate, a little more traditionally Italian than some of the other restaurants in that area.
Now, if you want to do an Italian restaurant crawl, because, you know, we're crawl people, you know, and do, just throwing this out there for a date, you could do a progressive night because they're all right there. And
all right, this is how I would do it.
Okay,
go ahead. All right, I would go to El Braco for appetizers because I love their meatballs and I love that Caesar salad.
Okay.
And then I would go to Tavola for pasta. And I'd get that bolognese. I would get the tortellini, And we didn't get risotto, but I bet you the risotto there is really good.
I bet it is too. Yeah.
And then I would go to Lombardy for mains because it's like a little bit of a kind of a steakhouse, right? They've got the fish, they've got the steaks, they've got shareable stuff, and it sets you up to go to their little speakeasy afterwards if you want like a drink afterwards. So I think that would be my Galleria area Italian restaurant
I
progressive.
like it. Yeah, I think I would go in that order too. I would do different, probably appetite, because I don't. But the meatball was good because you made us when I'm like, Eric's gonna get the meatball. So I like that order. I like that order. So there
Well,
you
good.
go.
I'm glad you approve.
Normally I don't. That's why I had to see. Yeah, I'm rocking with you. I'm rocking with you, E. I'm rocking with you today.
Well, yeah, and the other thing you can get at Il Bracco is that crudo that they do, kind of in the style of Swan Oyster Depot, like Clark's Oyster Bar does a version of it too, where you get like the slices of tuna next to the slices of salmon next to the
Oh yeah.
scallops. It's really pretty and really tasty. So yeah, I'm gonna stand by my Il Bracco, Tavola, Lombardi progression.
See, and so if y'all do it, if someone does the progressive night, shoot Eric an email, let us know. Hit him
Yeah,
on
tag us on
Instagram.
Instagram.
Yep.
Tag us on Instagram. We will repost you and applaud your taking our suggestion.
Yep.
All right. Felice, any other thoughts about Tavola?
No, that's it. Just I think you should check it out. Yeah, great date night. I want to, I'm open for date night if anyone wants to take me. Just throw that out there. Okay, that's
Right,
my
good to
plug.
know.
That's it.
Good to know. All right. Well, if you want to take Felice on a date, you can DM her on Instagram at Swanky Maven. Slide into her DMs, but come with a plan. Don't just be like, "I
A
want to hang out
plan,
with you."
honey. Yeah, that's
You
not
gotta
gonna work.
come with a plan. That's my only request. And then yeah, that's it for our restaurants of the week. Felice, thank you very much.
Thanks, Eric.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guest will be Jamie Allen from Juliet.
Eric should be here momentarily, I believe.
Okay, cool.
Oh, speaking of, here he is.
Oh, cool. Okay, I'm trying to get myself together. Let's see.
Hello.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to your show.
Lou. All right, hold on a second.
Can't hear us. See, I'm
No.
talking shit, and he can't even hear me talking. You know, like it totally defeats the point, you know?
That should be there.
Next time. Next
Why
time.
can't I hear you? Can I hear you? Say something. Someone say something.
Eric, welcome to your show. Thank you for joining
No.
us. You
No.
still can't.
Okay.
Oh, this is great.
Really takes the teeth
This
out of
is great.
it, doesn't
It
it?
totally does.
A few moments later.
All right, let's see now.
Hi, Eric. Welcome to your show. Thank you for joining us.
Nope.
Oh,
Nope. Okay. Third time is not a charm.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.